How would it have been to be Isaiah? What would it have been like? Think about it just for a minute. He was a priest by trade, ministering in the temple like his father had done, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, his great-great-grandfather, and on and on and on back, at least when the kings of Judah would allow it. Ministering the temple day by day, doing what they were doing, waiting, waiting, waiting to see what God would do. Going about the round of activity every day, coming to the temple, listening to the people coming, sacrificing lambs, tending to the lamps, changing the bread on the table. Day after day, the same thing. The normal round, every day. This is just what we do. Every day. Nothing different. Every day. Tomorrow I'm going to do the same thing. I'll change the bread. Care for the lamp. Do some sacrifices. Every day. And he's walking through the courtyard. At least that's the way I imagine it. And the Lord appears to him. Can you imagine this vision that he got in Isaiah chapter 6? Turn with me there. Isaiah chapter 6. As he's going about his daily activities, everything seems the same. Nothing to get excited about. The bread will still be there when I get there. Don't need to hurry. And here he is, Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. I just contemplate that thought just alone right there, just for a moment. I saw the Lord. Could you not just end right there with how awesome that must have been to see God? To see God would seem like the end of life right there, wouldn't it? Because I don't know about you, but I certainly don't feel worthy enough to see God. Not in this flesh, I don't know about you. He saw the Lord. Not just the lowly Savior who had veiled his divine glory with humanity and walked the dusty streets of Galilee. But this was God high, he says, and lifted up. This was not just God who was, yeah, he lives next door, Jesus. Yeah, we've known him for a long time. No, this was God on the throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. He knew what the temple looked like. He was a priest. He knew just what that would be. To see the train of his robe filling the temple. Can you get that picture? The robe flowing off his shoulders. What color is it in your mind? Maybe purple? Red? The flowing down and filling that whole place. That would have been huge, huge. Because not everybody had money for even hardly clothes, because they weren't something you just went down to the store and bought. These were things that were always handmade. A set of clothing was very expensive. You recall the time when Samson made a little deal with some guys about 30 changes of garment, remember? That was huge, huge. So to have a train that didn't just go all the way down, but went around and filled the whole, can you just imagine what that would be? That would be so expensive, it would just be outrageous. It would be amazing. Verse 2, above it stood seraphim, the angels of God. One angel we talked about last week had killed 185,000 trained men of war. One angel. And here they are, standing in the presence of God. Each one had six wings. And with two in the presence of the Almighty, he covered his face in reverence before the eternal God. And how flippantly we go, oh God, did you see that? How can we be so careless with the name of God? Think about it. These angels that excel in strength, who themselves are so awesome that John the Revelator fell down to worship him, this angel in God's presence veils his face. How much more we who are so mortal should we be in awe of God? And with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. What a picture that would be, wouldn't it? Think about that. And one angel cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy." Do we understand the holiness of God? Do we catch a glimpse even of what it was? For Jesus, the very God, to veil his divinity with humanity. Do we have any clue what it was? We think of Jesus as our brother, and yes, he is. But he is God. Veiled so that we could stand the sight. And here, as the curtain is parted, and Isaiah looks into the temple, he sees this awesome scene of God high and lifted up. He sees the train filling the temple. He sees the angels veiling their faces before the Lord of hosts and crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." What a picture. What a picture. The whole earth, the angel declares, is full of his glory. You want to know how powerful this was as this angel spoke these words? You want to know how much this affected things? Look at verse 4. And the posts of the door were shaken. Wait a minute. This was Solomon's temple. This thing was built out of solid stone. And the posts of the doors were shaken. Can you imagine? They were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So you can hear it, you can see it, you can feel it. Think about what Isaiah saw. Think about Isaiah as he's standing there in that courtyard. And he's thinking and he looks out around. Out through the gate of the court. And he thinks about what's out there. And he thinks about all of the countries out there poised, ready if they had a moment to strike, to come in, to invade, to destroy. He thinks of Assyria. What would it be like? I wonder sometimes how we see the outside world. How do we see as we stand at the door of the church and we look out? Do we see invading armies ready to destroy, ready to invade? Is that what we should see as we look out? So we need to take refuge and protect ourselves. We need to be afraid. We need to hide. Build walls. Build fortresses. Is this our fortress that we take refuge in from the outside world? Is that what it's about? And as he looked out that door, out that gate, he sees Judah. He sees where so many times they have gone against the Lord. Perhaps he can even see from his position right there the places where they have brought things into the temple, things that ought not to be. He sees high places where they go to worship. And what are they worshiping? He sees idols. He sees stuff that ought not to be. He sees apostasy. He sees rebellion against God. Take a look just a couple of chapters over, Isaiah chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. He sees how they treat each other. Isaiah chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. For the Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people. Are you with me? Isaiah chapter 3, 14 and 15. For the Lord will enter into judgment with the elders of his people and his princes, for they have eaten up the vineyard and plundered. The plunder of the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, says the Lord, God of hosts? As God looks down, he sees this. And as Isaiah looks out through that gate, he sees this. He sees the houses of the rich, and they're willing to take the clothes off the back of the poor in order to get a little farther ahead. He sees injustice among God's people even. He sees idolatry. He sees pride. He sees King Uzziah, who had created all kinds of wonderful battlements and weapons of war, and he was so proud of everything he had done. I wonder. When you look at the church, what do you see? What do you see? Is it like Isaiah saw? Is that what you see? What do you see? You see a feeble and defective church, perhaps? I seem to remember something about that. The church, feeble and defective as it is. You remember that? Perhaps you remember that quote somewhere. Look it up if you don't. Feeble and defective. Go look it up. Because you'll find there that the church is the only object on which God lavishes his love. It is, in fact, the theater of his grace. This place, us right here, the theater of God's grace. It is for you and I. You see, as God looks at us, He sees, yes, difficulties, but He also sees a people to love. Am I saying the truth here? But Isaiah sees something else. As Isaiah is there, as this vision fills his mind, as he sees God high and lifted up, the angels veiling their faces, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy." Isaiah sees one more thing. Take a look with me, Isaiah chapter 6, one more time here. Take a look. Verse 5, are you with me? Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. "So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone.'" It means this is the end. It was a Hebrew expression meaning I'm toast. I have seen God. How can I continue to live? This is it for me. There's no hope. I'm undone. I'm finished. "Woe is me, for I am undone." Why, Isaiah, why? "Because I am a man of unclean lips." Wait, Isaiah, you're the prophet. How can you be so horrible? You're the prophet. You're a man that God speaks through. How can you be a man of unclean lips? You see, even the prophet saw himself. He saw himself. You see, the prophet didn't look around and say, "Well, that priest is pretty ugly. Woo, that one's got real problems." He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. For I am a man of unclean lips." You see, it was more about what the reflection of God's glory did to himself, not to those around him. And so he said, "I am a man of unclean lips." You see, Isaiah day by day had been going along. This is the same all the time. The bread will still be there. The lamps will still be there. The sacrifices will still be done. It's the same over and over. And he got tired. He got used to it. He got used to it. What? He got used to the glory of God. He got used to the idea of dealing with eternal realities. He got used to it as though it were common and of no impression. Sometimes I wonder, what do we see? Do we have a vision of God that keeps us from being satisfied with a cold and lifeless ceremony when we come here week after week after week? Is it just the same old bread and lamps? Is it just the same old sacrifices? Or for you, as you come here, does the fire burn on the altar? Is this the place where you meet with God? Is this the place where you see the God of heaven, the Lord of hosts, high and lifted up? Do you come here with your face veiled, saying, "Holy, holy, holy," because you've had a vision of God? What do you see? As Isaiah looked into that temple then, he saw the majesty of God. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up." Let that wash over you. His holiness, holy, holy, holy. His glory, read verse 7 with me. And he touched my mouth with it, with that coal from off the altar there. And he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. The glory of God is that he has mercy on his people. That's the glory of God. He has mercy. Verse 8. I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? The Lord even went so far as to accept him for service, though he was a man of unclean lips. But it was because he had been touched. He had been touched. He had been touched. Isaiah saw these angels as he had looked in, reverent and praising God. And the contrast between the worship of these angels, the praise of these angels, and the feeble praise he had been content to give out by measure to God. That contrast reached to the quick of his heart. What about you and I? What about you and I? Are we willing to take a vision of God today? Can we handle just a pinch of what Isaiah had here? Can we put into our mind's eye just a little of what he had? He wrote it for us, didn't he? He put it there so that we could share in his experience just a smidgen. And so we come today to realize that the vision given to Isaiah represents us today, me specifically. This is about you and I, God's people, and our condition in this last day. Our work today is to take a look around at us, like me personally. Not here, not here, not the pew over there, me. Take a look at myself. Consider the God high and lifted up and the man of unclean lips. To look at ourselves, to contrast the reverence and worship of the angels with the way I come to this place, to the way that I open this word through the week, to the way I approach God as I pray. Do I come to Him as the Lord of hosts, high and lifted up? Or do I treat him more like a vending machine? God, I need this blessing, cha-ching. God, I need this blessing, cha-ching. Hey, I pulled the handle. How come I'm not getting my blessing? Is that what it's like? Or do we see God high and lifted up? Are we willing to take an honest look? As we see God today, as we consider the vision of Isaiah in our own experience today, does it change you? It changed Isaiah from a workaday priest to the prophet of God. It changed him from the one who went through a lifeless ceremony, round after round after round, to a man who was ready to answer the call of the Almighty. Again, look at verse 8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? God is echoing that call to you and I again today. He is calling for people in this generation to answer the call, who will go for us? And the call comes to you and me, brothers and sisters, let's catch a vision of God high and lifted up. Let us see a vision of the angels in reverence before Him. Let us get a vision of our own personal selves as unworthy to have that call come to us. But because Jesus is willing to touch us with a coal, He calls us anyway. Then our temptation sometimes is to see Isaiah go out and tell the people of his day all of their sins, all of their mistakes, all of their shortcomings, and say, repent because Assyria is coming. The long arm of the Lord is coming after you because of all the mistakes you make, and we tend to think that's our work. But brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you now, that is not what the Lord has called us to. You see, as I read my Bible, I see Jesus giving us an entirely different commission, don't you? I see Him saying, go into the world, go out there. We are not to sit in our citadel, be proud of our great battlements, and wait for the Lord to do something. God is calling us to go out to the world and make a difference. Who will go for us? He asks. How does your Bible read? For Revelation chapter 14, 6 through 12. How does your Bible read? Isn't there something there about an angel? A powerful angel? In fact, three powerful angels? And they have a message, don't they? Worship God. Right? Which God should we worship? The one who created. Yes? The one who created the heaven and the earth, the seas and the fountains of water, right? Isn't that the God we should worship? Shouldn't we worship the Creator, the one high and lifted up? You see, our message is the message that we're reading about today. Our message is to go forth to the world, to go there. Our message is to take to the world a message of the Creator high and lifted up. Brothers and sisters, if we lose what it is to see God in here week by week, we will not have a message to take out there. If we're going to take a message of the God who is the Creator God that gave us a memorial of His creation in time, we have to be acquainted with who He is and see Him, the God high and lifted up. Will you listen to God's call today? Who will go for Him? How did Isaiah answer? Because you and I this morning have gotten that vision. You and I have been touched with the coal from off the cross. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Brothers and sisters, let that be your word today. Here am I, send me. This week, may the Lord lay it on your heart that there are people around you who are dying to see the Lord high and lifted up in your life. In your life. And He's asking you, will you go for me? Will you speak for me? Will you stand for me? Will you represent me? Brothers and sisters, the answer is, here am I. Send me. Absolutely. That is the answer, isn't it? Brothers and sisters, God has laid on us this responsibility. We are the three angels. We have this message to take to the world, to let them see what God is like, to show them high and lifted up, not to sit in our cloister and wait for God to do something, but to go out, to bless others, to love them, to share the life of Jesus in our community. God is asking, who will go for us? And the answer is, here am I. Send me. Ah, let that be your answer this week.